A fossil discovered in a Siberian mountain cave could supply an important new clue to the origins of modern humans. Writing in the journal Nature, a team of German scientists say DNA evidence taken from a 40,000-year-old pinky finger suggests it belongs to a new subgroup of extinct humans. Meanwhile, a second study published by the National Research Council looks at human origins from another point of view, assessing how changes in climate may have shaped the evolution of our ancestors. Rick Potts tackles the mysteries of human origins for a living. For over 25 years, the paleoanthropologist at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington has led expeditions to East Africa to explore how our early ancestors adapted to changes in landscape and climate.
You walk up the hillside of this eroded region of southern Kenya, and you see layer after layer that indicates a huge lake was here, but then the lake is gone. Then there's a volcanic eruption that covered over all the grass, and the animals had to move away. And then there was a river that came through that area. The lake is back, and then there's a big drought. And so on and on, layer after layer, there's amazing chapters in the story of climate change.
Potts says prehistoric climate changes appear to have coincided with milestones in human evolution, such as the emergence of bipedalism, walking on 2 feet, the development of a larger brain, and tool-making skills.
And what we're able to investigate is how those tool-makers, making stone hand axes for hundreds of thousands of years, were able to adjust. But then the environmental changes got ramped up, and then the hand axes disappear, and we see the technologies that are smaller. We have stone points that were attached to arrows that allowed our direct ancestors, right before the emergence of our own species, to hunt animals and to do many more diverse things.
That link between climate and human evolution is the subject of the new National Research Council study. Andrew Hill is professor of anthropology at Yale University and part of the team of scientists who contributed to the report. He says efforts to better understand the link between climate and evolution and to more clearly define those evolutionary adaptations are limited by gaps in the fossil record.
Anytime you find something, it's likely there were some before that you've not found yet. And so you're not really dating the origin of these things precisely. That gets better if you find more stuff. The bigger your sample size, the more likely you are to have an accurate first appearance of a new species or a new behavior. And that's where we're deficient at the moment, why we need to explore more.
Hill says the research team recommends a major new effort to locate additional sites. And he notes that remote sensing devices aboard satellites and unmanned aircraft can help to more precisely target where to excavate.
You can actually search for different types of rock because different types of rock give off a different signal in the non-visible part of the spectrum. And so you can look for sedimentary rocks as opposed to volcanic rocks and different kinds of sedimentary rocks like lake beds where there might be something plausible.
Hill says the NRC report also recommends more extensive drilling to extract sediment cores from dry land, lake beds, and ocean floors in regions where humans evolved.
In doing that, you're also finding more specimens of other kinds of animals and archaeology.
And Hill adds, computer-generated climate models using data on temperature, precipitation, and vegetation near human fossils can be a huge help, not only in reconstructing past environments, but in understanding the science of climate change in our own era.
A very concrete way in which it's useful is that when you're working out models for what will happen in the future, the only way you can really test it is by applying the models to the past where you know what really happened from other signals.
Over at the Museum of Natural History in Washington, Rick Potts is curator of a new exhibit on human origins. He's also a contributor to the NRC report, which he says recommends new education programs to build on already strong public interest in the science of human origins.
The idea of being able to trace the emergence of our own species resilience as the last remaining member of a diverse family tree And how that evolutionary history interacts with the possibilities of the future, I think, is extremely relevant, bringing together these two enormous areas of public curiosity, climate change and human evolution.
Potts says fossil and climate records can bring us a little closer to answering two fundamental questions. What does it mean to be human? And how will our resilient species adapt to a future of changing climate? Roseanne Skirbel, VOA News, Washington.